Book 2. Then Shamhat gave Enkidu one of her robes, and he put it on. Taking his hand, she led him, like a child, to some shepherds' huts. Marveling, the shepherds crowded around him. "What an enormous man," they whispered. "How much like Gilgamesh he is, tall and strong, with muscles like rock." They led him to their table. They put bread and beer in front of him. Enkidu sat and stared. He had never seen human food. He didn't know what to do. Then Shamhat said, "Go ahead, Enkidu. This is food we humans eat, and drink this." Warily, he tasted the bread. Then he ate a piece. He ate a whole loaf, then ate another. He ate until he was full, drank 7 pitchers of the beer. His heart grew light, his face glowed, and he sang out with joy. He had his hair cut, he washed, he rubbed sweet oil into his skin, and became fully human. Shining, he looked handsome as a bridegroom. When the shepherds lay down, Enkidu went out with sword and spear. He chased off lions and wolves. All night he guarded the flocks. He stayed awake and guarded them while the shepherds slept. One day, while he was making love, he looked up and saw a young man pass by. "Shamhat," he said, "bring that man here. I want to talk to him. Where is he going?" She called out, then went to the man and said, "Where are you going in such a rush?" The man said to Enkidu, "I am on my way to a wedding banquet. I have piled the table with exquisite food for the ceremony. The priest will bless the young couple, the guests will rejoice, the bridegroom will step aside, and the virgin will wait in the marriage bed for Gilgamesh, king of great walled Uruk. It is he who mates first with the lawful wife. After he is done, the bridegroom follows. This is the order that the gods have decreed. From the moment the king's birth cord was cut, every girl's hymen has belonged to him." As he listened, Enkidu's face went pale with anger. "I will go to Uruk now, to the palace of Gilgamesh the mighty king. I will challenge him. I will shout to his face, 'I am the mightiest. I am the man who can make the world tremble. I am supreme.'" Together, they went to great walled Uruk, Enkidu in front, Shamhat behind him. When he walked into the main street of Uruk, the people gathered around him, marveling. The crowds kept pressing closer in to see him. Like a little baby, they kissed his feet. "What an enormous man," they whispered. "How much like Gilgamesh, not quite so tall, but stronger boned. In the wilderness, he grew up eating grass with gazelles. He was nursed on the milk of antelope and deer. Gilgamesh truly has met his match. This wild man can rival the mightiest of kings." The wedding ritual had taken place. The musicians were playing their drums and lyres. The guests were eating, singing, and laughing. The bride was ready for Gilgamesh, as though for a god. She was waiting in her bed to open to him in honor of Ishtar, to forget her husband and open to the king. When Gilgamesh reached the marriage house, Enkidu was there. He stood like a boulder, blocking the door. Gilgamesh, raging, stepped up and seized him. Huge arms gripped huge arms. Foreheads crashed like wild bulls. The two men staggered. They pitched against houses. The doorposts trembled. The outer walls shook. They careened through the streets. They grappled each other, limbs intertwined, each huge body straining to break free from the other's embrace. Finally, Gilgamesh threw the wild man and with his right knee pinned him to the ground. His anger left him. He turned away. The contest was over. Enkidu said, "Gilgamesh, you are unique among humans. Your mother, the goddess Ninsun, made you stronger and braver than any mortal, and rightly has Enlil granted you the kingship, since you are destined to rule over men." They embraced and kissed. They held hands like brothers. They walked side by side. They became true friends.